Good morning. Are you awake? Some of you still look like you're sleeping, even though we said he is risen. We should have maybe asked if you are risen. Actually, the New Testament teaches us that having placed our trust in Christ, we too are risen. The only thing that we're waiting for is our bodies. And so we're already the new creation. And so we have a lot to be thinking about and a lot to be grateful for this morning. This morning in our adult Bible class, we looked at the Gospel of Mark, Luke, and John. We read all three accounts, and then we read the Gospel of Matthew account in terms of the resurrection. Now, you may, having been raised here, for many of you, in the Winkler area, or maybe in a Christian background, Easter Sunday can be a rather sentimental time. Sentimental in the sense that we remember the death of Christ, and we give somber thought to that. But maybe by Monday, all that sentimentality has been washed away as people face the reality of their lives. But what about that first resurrection morning? What was it that gripped the lives of the apostles? What was it that got those who first saw the Lord to go on and give their lives for Christ? What should you and I realize every day of our lives that would result in changed attitudes, that would result in a changed perspective, and then, of course, changed people? What do the Scriptures teach us? I guess the picture that comes to my mind for any believer who's been a Christian for any length of time is to maybe see a believer sitting in his chair at home, no distractions, with the Bible open, and meditating upon these various truths. The children are milling around and playing on the floor, and you're meditating upon these good things, and you gather the children around you, and you begin to read, whether it be the Advent stories, the resurrection story, or the early church, stories about David, Abraham. All of these truths point us and focus us to this day. The Old Testament clearly teaches that there will be a resurrection. And so even if you didn't have the New Testament, you'd be taught that there'd be a resurrection for those who believe. In the Old Testament, the saints believed the promises of God. As time went on, they understood that a Messiah would come and rule. As we come into the New Testament and we read the gospel narratives, we see that they give us a picture of the death and resurrection of the Messiah. And we also read the response to that truth. We come to the book of Acts and we have the record of the power that was evidenced in the lives of the apostles to get the message out that the Messiah has come and that death has been conquered. But it isn't until we come to the epistles of Peter and Paul, the gospel of John, the epistles of John, the book of Hebrews. There they provide us with clear teachings as to what was accomplished through the death and resurrection of Christ, and the results for us who believe. So I want to pretend that we're in our living rooms today, and each of you are our parents and your kids are here, and you're starting to go through some of the familiar passages. And so you come across the book of Acts, and you've been reading the account, and you come to Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Why don't you turn there with me? Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Lord Jesus has returned to heaven and he has commissioned the apostles to go and make disciples of all nations. But how could 11 men possibly do this? How are 11 men going to be able to proclaim the gospel around the world and in many different languages? And so we read in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, it says, "And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." And so you read the account in the book of Acts, and you see the message starting to spread like wildfire. People are coming to know and understand that there is a possibility, there is reality in this person called Jesus, the Messiah, and that life has been granted to those who believe in him. And then there's a fellow named Saul, who's later called Paul. One who persecuted the church, thought the church would be a threat to Judaism. Confronted by the Lord Jesus, he commits his life to proclaiming the gospel. What a turnaround. Was there a turnaround in your life the moment that you placed your trust in Christ? What changed? Your darkness turned to day. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Listen to what Paul has to say about the power of the resurrection. Probably no one person has had as great of influence in the New Testament as the Apostle Paul. Of course, he has the largest amount written. He has 13 epistles. Verses 1 to 4. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, and notice this, by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection of the dead authenticated all of these titles of the Lord Jesus. It means that it gave credibility to who Jesus is. What about Peter, the man who denied the Lord Jesus? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. A man who was challenged to go and feed the flock. A man who claimed that he would never desert. He would even die for the Lord. Failing to recognize the weakness in himself to be able to fulfill that very promise. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Boy, for Peter to have been able to have articulated that soon after the resurrection was impossible. He had questions during those 40 days between the ascension, the resurrection and the ascension. Peter and the apostles must have asked all kinds of questions. Why did you have to die? Where does it say that in Scripture? What's significant about your death? And now that you're alive, what are we to teach people about the resurrection? And these are truths that have come and been preserved in God's Word so that we as parents, mums and dads, young people, could share with the world because we have the good news of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul discipling another generation. Now we've gone from the apostles, we're going to the next generation. What an impact this is going to have as Timothy now has this charge to go and proclaim this gospel. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul says to Timothy. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul, as he was mentoring this young man in the faith, helped him understand the nugget, the truth, the kernel of truth that is necessary for us to understand who Jesus is. He grants eternal life by virtue of his resurrection, by virtue of our faith in him. He writes another letter to Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. Timothy is a rather timid young man. He can hardly understand how the Apostle Paul can stand being beaten and left for dead. Can't understand why it is that Paul is willing to suffer imprisonment, risk his life. And so Paul challenges Timothy. He says in verse 8, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death." What was the purpose of the cross but to abolish death? You say, why is it that we get to see death around us? Well, to remind us that, of course, the sting of death is sin. The power of death is as a result of that sin. And as long as we live under the curse, until Jesus comes and brings a new heaven, a new earth, we're going to watch death around us. But death has been abolished, and there will be a day when there will be no more tears, no more dying. And as we stand around graves today as believers, we speak of that obvious future that's going to be realized when the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive will be joined together with Christ in the air and with those who have died. And so Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Prior to that, the good news was not clear, wasn't completely understood, the significance and the power of the gospel. The writer to the Hebrews, writing to Jewish believers, Hebrews chapter 2. Listen to what we see here. Of course, these believers were threatening to go back to their Judaism. They weren't appreciating who Jesus is. And do you appreciate who Jesus is? And do you appreciate the power of the gospel, the good news that you've received? Do I appreciate it? That's what I'm seeking to do day by day. That's why I spend hours and hours trying to figure out, how is it that I need to live this life? Day in and day out, how can I live more effectively for my Savior, because he gave his all for me? Writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 2, verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he might, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." The purpose of the cross was that he might taste death for everyone. In other words, he has died in your place, and you need not die. You say, well, what's the point? I thought we were all going to die. No, there's a possibility of a rapture today, and those of us who are alive will be caught up without dying and receive transformed bodies. What a beautiful thought. When I first heard that truth, I'm telling you, I said, oh boy, Lord Jesus, come today. I want to be with that group of believers who are going to be caught up alive with the Lord. What an amazing picture. Turn down to verse 14 of the same chapter. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." What was the purpose of the cross? Purpose of the resurrection was to destroy the evil one, that death would be abolished, and that we would be granted eternal life. That's the message of the gospel. That's what we get to proclaim day in and day out. It's what keeps the Energizer Bunny going on and on. Hopefully, you've got the eternal Energizer Bunny inside you, right? That battery never goes dead. It gives you life. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. The Apostle Paul, again, much to teach the Romans. helping him to understand and gain perspective in this new life called the resurrection life, the transformed life, life in the Spirit, many different names, but simply to convey that we are a new creation. Chapter 5, verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." What does that salvation by his life mean? It means that by his example, we get to be rescued from the power of sin. Not only the penalty of sin, but the power of sin so that we can live a life that brings honor and glory to God. Go down to verse 17 in the same chapter. "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, and so through Adam death reigned in each of our lives, and that's why we see death all around us, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus." We get to reign. Purpose. The purpose for the cross and the resurrection is that we might reign with Christ, that we might rule with him in a future day. And so the cross brings about the abolishment of death, power over sin, and then to reign with Christ. Go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Free from the law of sin and death." What was the purpose of the cross and the resurrection? It's to be set free. One Bible class, I asked someone, "Are you free?" Couldn't quite understand that. For some people, the idea of being free is to never have a problem with temptation. That's not the point. To be free is to be able to make the choice with a full knowledge and a deep appreciation for the grace of God. It's not to be a robot, to be manipulated, all of a sudden turn a switch on, and all of a sudden you just don't have any problems with sin. Sin should be the least of our worry. Christ has dealt with all of our sin. The issue is, are you willing to suffer for Christ and follow in his footsteps? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. Paul writing to a church that's rebellious, a church that fails to appreciate the marvelous grace of God, having been taught for a year and a half under Paul, still is questioning his authority. And so we'll listen to what he says. He has a whole chapter on the resurrection and the purpose for Christ's death. Verse 21. "For since by man came death," by man, meaning the Son of God, "also came the resurrection of the dead." What a picture of contrast. It's meant to help us understand how finite we are, and yet how God in his power allowed his Son to come in human flesh and to experience death, taste death for everyone, and yet to bring us to a point of resurrection. Go down to verse 26 in the same chapter. "The last enemy that is to be destroyed is death." And so you say, well, why did Paul write that? Because when that enemy is gone, there'll be such a deliverance. We today, as the church of Jesus Christ, living the life of Jesus, are to show people what a resurrected life looks like. We're able to forgive people, love people, help people, show compassion and mercy. We're to make difficult judgments in this life, in the church, and so on. And so the world is looking, and they're looking to the consistency. They're looking to the compassion. They're looking to the love. And Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another." The apostles in the gospel accounts witnessed the resurrection. We no doubt see, as we read the epistles and the Acts of the Apostles, we can see the change in the way that they lived and the way that they died. They willingly suffered. They suffered persecution. They were martyred for the sake of their Savior. And so the verses that we've looked at today, as parents, as we gather around and we read through the scriptures with our children, and we teach them the importance to value this intrinsic, wonderful message, true to the core, that transforms the heart, transforms the mind, transforms the attitude. We get to share that. the value of the resurrection. And so we who have placed our trust in the Messiah for eternal life, we've been granted that very life today. Not something future, but a present possession. We've been granted new life today, which is evidence in how we respond to the grace that we've received. And so when you read in the scriptures, forgive one another as we have been forgiven, this is the critical outworking of our faith. This is the power of the resurrection in our lives. And so others need to see that new life lived out in your life, in my life, the resurrected life. What does that look like? What does the fruit of the Spirit say? Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, patience, self-control. Against these there is no law. May the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the resurrected life, be worked out in your life as you live a life of gratitude for what the Savior has done for you. Listen to what Jesus said to Martha, John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. She was by a graveside. Her brother had just died. Lord Jesus, if you'd have been here, he would not have died. And Lord Jesus went on to teach her something about the resurrection. John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He is risen. He is risen. Why don't you stand up and say that? He is risen. He is risen. So just think about that. He is risen. I serve a living Savior. I serve a risen Savior. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray together. Lord, we commit our day to you. We thank you for your word today. Thank you for the power of the cross and resurrection. Without the resurrection, our faith would be in vain. And so we thank you for a risen Savior. We thank you that he was witnessed by many around him who went on to record this and preserve it so that we here today, having not seen, believe. And we pray, Father, that you would work out your purposes in and through our lives. That whatever we're facing here today, whatever the struggles are, the challenges, transformed heart and attitudes and all of that, Lord, may we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, for you are worthy. Thank you for the knowledge of sins forgiven and peace with you. You are our King. And so we bow the knee and seek to be your servants this day. In Jesus' name, amen.